Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
All right. And again, in the church, many people in church become afraid of the word commitment. Why? Because we live in a day where many people have been abused by leadership in and out of the church who use the word commitment as a way to actually control and to dominate people's lives. And they will tell you, you have to be committed. And again, people who enter into certain relationships where there's supposed to be this mutual understanding of what commitment means. Does that mean that I just have to put up with abuse, you know, and just tolerate it because I'm supposed to be committed? Or is there something more powerful and more profound about that? And so we need to understand commitment because commitment is a healthy and a vital part of life. Okay? Without commitment, no relationship can last. Without commitment, no relationship can last. Marriages cannot work without commitment. Family cannot work without commitment. Imagine if a parent chose not to be committed to their children. No business, no job, no organization can function without commitment. The employee must be committed to the job. The CEO, the employer, whoever is their supervisor, everyone must be committed in order for anything that's significant to work. It's because of commitment the world runs the way it runs, right? If the person who drove the trains every morning, if the people who drive the trains every morning chose not to be committed tomorrow morning, and not show up to work, how would many of us get to work? Right? If people choose not to be committed, if pastor today decided, I don't want to do this no more, I'm tired of church, and you guys came to church this Sunday and he didn't see me, and said, where's pastor? He was at home. He's at home watching football because he didn't feel like being committed today. You see? Commitment is essential to life itself. Jesus was committed, so committed that the Bible says that what he went through was hard, right? He had to go to the cross, he had to die, he had to suffer betrayal, his friends, his family, everybody turned their back on him. But the reason why, one of the reasons why he was able to still go through what he had to go through in order to bring salvation to you and me today was because Jesus chose to be committed to his purpose, committed to the vision of God, committed to the mission that God sent him on the earth to accomplish. Somebody thank Jesus for his commitment today. Amen. But in a day where many have been abused by leaders in and out of the church, we have become slow to trust and we avoid commitment at all costs. See, I don't want to be that man or woman. Amen. So, I want us to look at a scripture really quick, and then I'm going to jump into this, because I'm talking about commitment, but I'm going to tie it in to the body of Christ, and I'm going to talk about the church. Turn with me really, really quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 13. Verse 12, look at 12. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. I'm going to go quickly because we have a lot to do today. So 1 Corinthians 12 reads this. For as the body is one and has many members, But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. I want you to look at that, verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, I'm not necessary, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole body was hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. I love the imagery of the body that God calls the church and God calls his family the body of Christ, right? There are many different terms that Jesus calls the church. He calls it a family, or the Bible calls it the household of God, Ephesians 2:19, if you want to write that down. The church is called the household of God, or the household of faith. Now, the Bible is also called the Bible also calls the church a family, which is what we have also found out as a household. But one of the things it calls the church is a body. And it makes this comparison to say that although we are all individuals and we're all separate, we've all come from different homes, except you live in the same house, and we've all come from different backgrounds, but yet those of us that are in Jesus, that are in Christ, we all are a part of one body. And it says that that body, Christ is the head, okay? And we know that what happens in the head, what organ do we find in the head? Predominantly, the brain. So it says that in the body of Christ, Jesus is not the whole body. Jesus is not the whole body, but he is the head. And everybody else makes up the rest of the body. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ and has declared him to be their Lord, their Savior, they understand that Jesus Christ died for their sins, made them right with God. They believe that he went to the grave. He went to the cross, went to the grave. God raised him up from the dead. He resurrected. He lives now forever. And he's now interceding for everyone who says, yes, I want to come into his family. And the Bible says that those who accept him, he makes them members of his family. All right? So we have an imagery. We have a family and we have a body. And both images, the family and the body, they're individual people who are now supposed to move as one. And it's important we realize this. What makes a great church is when each and every individual understands their position in the body. So he says, if everybody thought of themselves as an ear, and everybody wanted to hear, who's going to do the smelling for us? If everybody wanted to be the feet, who's going to do the grabbing, amen, and the reaching for us? So he's basically saying, I don't need you to be just like me. I need you to be just like you. I need you to be you, and you need to let me be me, because if we all understand, if we all appreciate and honor our individuality and our differences, that's what's going to cause ultimate unity to manifest. Unity is not everyone doing the same thing, speaking the same way. Unity is going to come when we all honor each other's differences. So it really should be university, right? One, diversity. University. We all honor each other's diversity and we see each other as one. Now watch this. Christ said, you're the member of the body of Christ. To make this plain to some of you, I'll make it even plainer. You guys can become members of wholesale shopping places like BJ's and Costco, Sam's Club, right? I don't know anybody that goes to Sam's Club, but it's there. Okay? But then, all right, but you can also be a member of a gym. So today, big thing is that everybody has a gym that they want to join. So they got Blink Fitness, and there's Retro, there's New York Sports, there is Crunch, Planet Fitness. And so we got, we join these gyms, right? And we become members of these gyms. Now, there's one, let's take, so for example, if you ask what gym I go to, I'm Team Blink, all right? I'm Blink. I mean, anybody Team Blink? All right. Let's have this room. Now, we go to Blink, and they have a unique vision. They have a unique mission. People that go to Blink like Blink probably because of colors. There's a lot of bright colors in there. It's clean. I like Blink because it's clean. Cleaner than Planet Fitness, at least from what I've seen. Okay? But that's my gym. Every month, I pay for Blink. Now, ask me when was the last time I went to Blink. Last time I went, I bought my membership. All right? But I'm a member. You ask me where I go to Blink. But watch this. I thought about this. I'm like, wait a minute. People treat their gyms like their churches. And they treat their churches like their gyms. Now you got people, if you ask them what church they go to, I go to H1G. I go to Hungry for God. I go to this church. I go to that church. But then it's like, well, when was the last time you've been to church? But I want you to consider that, right? But they'd be like, well, I give my dues. I send my tithes or my weekly offerings or whatever. But then they don't experience the benefits of being committed to what you are a member of. Church is that spiritual gym that you join, and when you become a part of it, you're there so that you can grow and be strengthened in your faith. Come on, where you can develop endurance, spiritual endurance. Come on, where you learn how to get your spiritual muscles built up. Come on, you are trained and you are equipped and edified there. But we can't do that if you're not attending or showing up. So when people say, well, I'm a member, but I don't have to show up. You might be a member, but you're not getting the benefits, come on, of what you can be a part of if you fully committed yourself to what is required of you. Amen? You might say, I can work out at home. Yeah, you can worship at home, but it's not the same. It really isn't. So the simple picture, I want you to think about this. Today's Membership Sunday, I want to talk about the power of membership. And I want to talk about specifically the ministry of the members. But watch this, just like that body. If you don't work out your arm, you never work out your left arm, and you use your right arm for everything every day, what's going to happen for that arm that you don't use? It gets weaker and weaker every day. Come on. When whatever you don't use, you lose. One of the things that we encourage in H4G is even if you're not a member of our church, we allow you to come and we still give you the chance to serve. We allow you to jump in on board with one of our many different teams because for me, I'm looking out for you. Because I understand you truly cannot find your sense of purpose and meaning and identity in the body of Christ and the things of God unless you're doing something for God. You see, because your muscles develop every time you allow yourself to be used. Remember, Jesus is only the head. He's the brain of the operations. He's telling you what to do. But it's not up to you to respond to what he might reveal to you, what he might be showing you. And I really believe that we forget that when God saved you and he put his spirit in you, that your thoughts and your ideas are now intertwined with his. So the family that decided to dedicate their baby today, that they didn't just make that decision all on your own. There's thousands of churches. There's thousands of churches you can decide to dedicate your baby at. But the reason why they chose this church is not just because they wanted to. It's because God had a divine plan behind them coming here today. Same with every one of you in this room. Your thoughts and plans are not intertwined with God's. He's the head. You're the body. The problem is, unless we become truly in tune with the rest of the body, we won't exactly know what's going on in the body. Is this making sense? So, like, at Blink, they don't know me. I'm a member, but they don't know who I am. I'm a silent partner, right? Come on. But that's why a church can't truly be, can offer you the full benefits. Like, a church is designed to provide accountability. It's designed to provide that motivation, that enthusiasm, that care, that pastoral care, that type of devotion that I can give to you as a leader. I cannot devote my time and commit my energy to invest in someone that I don't know wants to be invested into because you're not a member. Someone said to me the other day, why if we're all saved and we all become members of the body of Christ, why do I need to become a member of a church? Right? If we're all members of the body of Christ, why do I need to become a member at a church? Again, it goes right back to that whole idea. You're a member of Blink, but how many Blinks are there? Right? There are hundreds. I mean, probably thousands of Blinks around the country. But what happens is you join a specific branch of Blink or whatever gym you go to, and that's your gym. That's the gym you go to. You don't go to a different gym every week if you go to the gym, right? You have one gym which you like, where you like to go to. Why? Because you need consistency. You need consistency, and you need convenience. It's a church right here. I could go right here, right? There's a gym right here. I can join there. But then you might find out one gym where you say, I like the staff there. I like where all of the weights are. It's set up. It's convenient for me. This works better for me, right? And you walk in, you're like, I can get my workout on because it helps. It's easier for you, but it's also a place that's special for you, okay? Now, here's what God wanted to tell you today. He said that I need my people to recognize that the church, my church, Jesus is saying my church, not just H4G, my church cannot grow, cannot be strengthened, cannot become what it's designed to be without the members of the body being used and being committed to being used. It sounds simple, but it's really profound. Because, watch this, it's very easy for everyone to blame the leaders of the church as to why the church isn't functioning at the capacity or the potential it can be in. But but watch this. I'll go back to the thing about commitment. Commitment must always be conducted through the bounds of choice. In other words, I, as a leader, cannot force you to commit. No one should force you to commit to anything. Why? Because if they do, then it becomes a dictatorship. It becomes also manipulation. Because God wants you to make a choice and to decide what you're going to be committed to. You know, it's not always leaders It's not only leaders that manipulate the concept of commitment. Sometimes it's the followers. The people themselves who have unhealthy expectations and sometimes may overcommit to people, places that have no desire to commit to you. Sometimes we sit and put up with stuff we don't, and out of our own personal wants, and we don't admit it. You deal with a psychologist and they'll tell you anyone who sits in an abusive relationship stays because they want something out of it. It's not only the fact that he's beating on them, it's the fact, or she, they want something out of it that they feel they're getting out of that person. And they're willing to endure that abuse to try to still get something else. So sometimes you people overcommit to places where they shouldn't. So I'm extremely specific about this. I don't force anybody to join this church. I don't force anybody to follow me or be a part of anything. I'm very specific about that, because one thing I want of this house is that this place will be a place free of manipulation. The Bible says that manipulation is as a sin of witchcraft. And to raise up a healthy people who are going to have healthy commitments, I have to allow you to have the freedom to make a choice on your own. So I'm not going to force you to commit here. I want you to make the decision. I say, I see the vision. I see the mission. I see what you stand for. I know where you're going. And I want to be a part of that. I want to go on a mission with you. I want to stand with you. I want to be a part. I want to fit in. Once that happens, it's your choice. And that's how you develop a healthy people. All right, a little over a minute. So let me give you these 5 points, and I'm transition, all right? Here are the 5 things that members can do that pastors can't do. Number one, members can determine the quality of the ministry. Members determine the quality of the ministry. What a ministry is able to accomplish, a house of worship is able to accomplish, it can only be accomplished by the assistance, by the offerings, by the support, by the people choosing and deciding to commit their time, commit their talents, commit their treasures in order to allow that house of worship to reach its full potential. Over the summer, we were able to help over 200 families get supplies for school. How were we able to do that? Through the commitment, number one, but the support of each and every one of you. Those of you who showed up with us at the park, and our sister Daitra, single-handedly purchased 200 book bags. Watch this. The people that were supposed to give us the help backed away and didn't. And she said, you know what? We promised that we were gonna have 200 book bags. I'll buy the book bags. So she bought out of her own money 200 book bags to give away to bless 200 families. We were able to do it, but the reason why we were able to do it is because someone decided to do it in the church. When you see needs that need to be met in the church and you can identify them, that means that more than likely you have what it takes to help solve that need, to meet that need. When you see something is out of place, and you're like, wait a minute, I noticed that, oh, this place needs painting. Our brothers, Amir and Eddie came by, like, you know, we need to paint this place up. And on their own, they decided. And I'm calling people out, not because they asked me to, but because I want you to realize this stuff is not getting done on its own. We have mics, and we have working lights, and we have all this stuff going on because it's the members that are setting the standard. If you want a house of worship that's going to be excellent, that's going to make impact, that's going to change the city, and then possibly change the nation if we all are committed enough, and then change our world if we're committed enough, it's going to come from each and every one of us doing our part. All right? So members determine the quality of ministry. Number two, members grow the church. Watch this. The Bible says that we're like a sheep. We're sheep, and he's a shepherd, right? But watch this. The Lord showed me something He said, as a shepherd, I can't grow the church because sheep reproduce sheep. So the only way we're going to multiply and grow is if the sheep are the ones doing the reproduction and doing the growing. You're the ones that's going and ministering to others and allowing them to be a part of this place so that they can be fed, so that they can be edified, and then they can find a place where they can call their own home. Number three, members determine how far in the kingdom of God their church can go. Members determine how far in the kingdom of God their church can go. Moses wanted to get to the promised land. He brought them out of Egypt, got them in the wilderness, but he didn't get to go to the other side. Why? Moses could have went himself. But how far Moses was able to go was because of how willing the people were willing to go with him. And the Bible clearly says their stubbornness. It took them 40 years to get where it was supposed to take 21 days, some historians say. It was a short trip, but it took them 40 years to get it right. And Moses couldn't get to the promised land because of the people's stubbornness and willingness. So guess what? It wasn't Moses' grace or Moses' anointing or Moses' ability that could have got them to where God wanted them to go. It was the people. So the members determine how far the church can go. If we want to get deeper in worship, you got to get deeper in worship. If you want to have a greater impact of outreach in the city, you have to be willing to make get up and say, let's go hit these streets. Let's begin to bring the gospel to people. Come on. Let's begin to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Let's move in the supernatural. When you're willing to say, I'm willing to go to the next level, the church will go to the next level. Come on. When you say, I want to grow, we grow. If we want to go up higher, you go. It starts with you because I'm ready. I'm ready. But it takes the church, the members. They determine how far we can go. Two more things. Number four, members multiply the impact of the ministry. The work of the ministry is not to be done by the leaders. It's supposed to be done by the members, right? Ephesians 4:11, we talk about that all the time. That they equip the saints, the leaders equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So it's not the leader's job to do the work of the ministry. It's the leader's job to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And when everyone understands that they have the power to do what the leaders do in their own way, then everybody begins to multiply their impact. I'm not the only teaching here. I'm not the only one that can pray here. Come on. I lead the way, but when you start doing it, we multiply our impact and our influence. Finally, members change the culture of the church. Members change the culture of a church. Watch this. One person who assumes a responsibility for a need will accomplish more than 1,000 people who criticize a need. The Bible talked about 12 spies who went to check out the promised land that they were supposed to get a hold of. Out of the 12, 10 came back and said, we can't go over there. Those people are too big. Those walls are too big. They see us as grasshoppers. We're underfunded, undermanned, under-resourced. We can't do it. The two spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, let's go up at once. We can't do it. And the 10, out of the million of people that was there, those 10 people got a million others to say, we can't do it. They determined the culture by their criticisms, by their naysaying, by their negative talk. They changed the whole culture. Where it was supposed to be faith, optimism, hope, courage, they began to breed fear and worry and anxiety because of the negative talk of just 10 people. They determined the culture of the church. If you want our church to be fun, life-giving, exciting, come on, hope-filled, come on, it starts with you understanding that I have the power to change the culture. One person assuming responsibility for a need will do more than 1,000 people who criticize a need. One person can change the culture. One person can change the culture. When you say, I'm going to show up, one Nehemiah, said, we need to change this culture. This wall is down. People are laughing at us. Come on, let us build this wall together. One Nehemiah got a bunch of people together, said, let's rebuild Jerusalem. When everybody was sitting down complaining, he got up and did something about it. Changed the whole city. Come on. What we need are you. We need you to do your part. We need you to step up. We need you to take responsibility. Your church. This is not my church. This is our church. If Hungry for God is your church, your place, you have something to offer to us. And we need everybody to do their job. Amen? All right.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.